Brothers, it's good to be with you guys this morning. My name is Manny. I am from Las Vegas, pastor of Redeemer Community Church with these two brothers here, Nick and Aaron. And it's been a real blessing to be here with you brothers, to worship with you, to be encouraged by you, to pray with you, to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, lifting up our praise unto the Lord together. It's been really encouraging for me. Thank you for having us out here. I want to just read real quickly just one verse, and I want to share a little bit about what Christ has done in my life and my testimony. The brothers asked me to share, and it's a real privilege of mine to do that. Psalm 96, I was thinking about this verse last night, and the Grace group, we had sung this psalm, and this is one of my favorite psalms, and I do want to just read this verse here to you, brothers. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Brethren, that's simple, to ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. And so I want to just take a few minutes and give unto the Lord the glory due his name in his grace and mercy in saving me. I grew up in Las Vegas, born and raised out there. I grew up in a family that went to church. We went to an evangelical Protestant church. And, you know, growing up, went to church every Sunday. I was at church every single Sunday, brethren. Went to church on Wednesdays. Went to the midweek. Went to the men's Bible studies, part of the youth group, all these different things. And I, as the scripture says, proclaimed and professed to know God, but denied him by my works, by the way I lived my life. Brethren, I claimed to know Christ throughout high school, but I lived in sin. Lived in open rebellion to God. I was baptized, but there was no change in my life whatsoever. And brother, the scripture says that those who say they know God and walk in darkness are a liar, and the truth is not in him. And brethren, that was me. That was my life all the way through high school into college. And I had these experiences where I would go to these men's retreats, or I would go to these college camps, and I would be out up in the woods for a week, and it would be, you know, preaching and preaching and preaching. And I would come under conviction of my sin, and I would come home from these retreats, and I would say, okay, I'm following after Christ. I'm following Christ. I would be convicted of my drug use and pornography and all the immorality that I was involved in. And I would come home and I'd try to clean myself up, try to clean up my life. And brethren, it was only about a couple months later, like a dog back to his vomit, I was back in the same kinds of sin. Back to doing drugs, back to hanging around people that are walking in ungodliness. And this would happen again and again and again a number of times in my life. And I would go up on these retreats, and I'd been to a number of them, and come down and try to follow after Christ. But really, brethren, it was all a work of the flesh. All of it was. God had not done a work in my heart. I had not truly repented and believed in the gospel. And when I was 23 years old is when Christ saved me. When he gave me faith, he gave me repentance, he gave me a new heart. And I was telling a brother this earlier. I'll just tell you the story real quick. I was on a date with this girl that I had been seeing and liked. And we were, you know, I was wining and dining her as an unconverted man would do. And we would, you know, we're drinking wine and having pizza. And in the middle of our date, she starts crying. And I ask her, well, why are you crying? And she says that she misses her ex-boyfriend. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, that's lovely. You know, what a... I gotta get my $100 tab now, if I can go home. and it's funny now, but it was not funny then. It was brutal. And brethren, I'm taking this girl home that I had taken on a few dates, and you know, I really liked her. And after I dropped her off, brethren, it was on the way home. It was on the way home when Christ convicted me of my sin. He convicted me of my immorality. He brought me to the end of myself. And I went home and cried out to God in true repentance and surrendered unto him, brethren, and believed the gospel, believed that Christ was my only hope of salvation. That was it. It was him and him alone. And I had no other means of righteousness on the day of judgment than Christ. And brethren, I went home and I was living out on my own with some friends, and just in my room, sought the Lord and got on my face and prayed that God would forgive me. And, you know, the next morning When I woke up, just things were different. Brethren, I had a hunger for the Word of God. I wanted to read my Bible. When before, it was never like that. It was go to church, go to the midweek service, go to the men's Bible study. But when you come home, put the books away and let's go party. Let's go get into the beers and let's go dancing and whatever else. And let's go live in immorality. And brethren, it was at that time when I started hungering for the Word of God. God had changed my heart. I loved Christ, the incarnate Word, and I loved the written Word. And I started reading and reading and reading. And I was putting away sin. I had stopped doing drugs, but there were still other sins that I was dealing with. And, you know, like going out to the clubs in Vegas, big thing out there, right? And so I would still go out to the clubs with my friends. And, you know, I was telling a brother here, I'm at one of these clubs, and I'm there drinking and looking at the dance floor and these things. And for the first time in my life, I thought, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is pointless, ungodly immorality. Get me out of here. And, you know, so it was those seasons in my life early on where God was purging me. He was drawing me to himself. He was sanctifying me. And I had to cut off the ungodly friends. And listen, I'm going to tell you, some of you in here right now, some of you guys are not Christians. And if you want to follow after Christ, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. Christ said that if you want to be his disciple, you got to forsake everything. That's even your own friends. That's your ungodly lifestyle. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, brethren. You need to have radical holiness with the things of God. God says that pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. But listen, folks, if you're here and you're not a Christian, Christ is worthy. He is worth it, brethren. And I have found such immense joy in my life following after Christ. Loving him, serving him. I was involved in the church there, serving the Lord in any way possible. I just wanted to serve Christ. I was doing a little Sunday school with the kids and, you know, started teaching the Bible to the kids there. And, you know, just doing whatever I could to get my hands involved in the local church. And it was at that time where after a couple of years, I started getting into more theology and a biblical understanding of the truth, and that's when God opened up my eyes to the doctrines of grace. And I was in a church that was very dispensational, very Arminian, very anti-Calvinistic, all of these different things. And when God opened up my eyes to the doctrines of grace, is when my whole world was wrecked for his glory. And I had to start rebuilding the pieces there. And I ran into some issues at my church as I was teaching some of these things. I wasn't heavily involved in the teaching there. And it was at that time where providentially I was not allowed to serve in that church anymore. And that's when God had brought me back to these brothers. I knew these brothers in high school. We had played baseball together. We grew up in high school together. Some of us involved in the same group of friends and the same immorality together. And it was then when my wife and I was married at the time, and our first son was on the way, that I had reached out to Aaron. And long story short, there the Lord brought some things full circle. I knew Aaron and these Bible college camps that I would go to with these guys, and they were Christians, but I wasn't. And I remember Aaron had this podcast of refining and reforming. And I just remember the word reforming. This guy must believe the same doctrine as I believe. So I reached out to him. And brother, you know, I haven't talked to you in 5 or 6 years, but praise the Lord, all this good stuff. And he's like, hey, you know what? My wife and I are going to be in town this weekend. It just so happens, come to church with us. And so we went to church with them. And that's when I got reconnected back with Brother Nick. And we were at the church there, First Baptist Church of the Lakes. And my wife and I ended up becoming members there. And that's where we met Dave Shoemaker as well, another good brother here. And it was just then when God started to unite us in ministry and in love for one another. And it was really Nick who really burdened my heart for evangelism and, you know, reaching the lost in abortion ministry. And we used to go out with this brother and also Dave as well. And these brothers would stir me up to love and good works. They would challenge me in ways that I'd never seen before growing up. Going out to the streets and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Going to the abortion clinic and pleading for the lives of the unborn. And, you know, being around brothers where we have fellowship, where we're being spurred on to prayer. And it was then in that church, my wife and I were sent out and we moved our family to Hong Kong. And we served in Hong Kong for a few years doing some ministry there and also in China. And then we were there for a couple years, and toward the end of that is when these brothers started moving downtown in the downtown area of Las Vegas, where we were looking at planting a church down there. And then I ended up moving back with my wife to be involved in that ministry. And then that's how the Lord brought me into the pastorate there. And brethren, I'm just grateful what the Lord has done. You know, right when I got saved, I want to go back real quick, and I'll end on this because it's important. Right when I was saved, I had one of my friends tell another friend, because I was, you know, telling people about Christ and these different things and trying to share the gospel with my friends there. And one of my friends had told another friend, don't worry, Manny will be back. He does this from time to time. And brethren, that kills my heart just to even think about that I stain the name of Christ so much as an unbeliever, claiming to know him and walking in ungodly sin, staining the name of Christ. Manny will be back. He does this. We've seen him go through these little Jesus highs, but he'll be back like a dog to his vomit. And I told this friend, I said, no, this is different. And I can't explain why, but God has saved me. He saved me. And brethren, it is just an act of mercy that God would allow a wicked mouth like mine to proclaim his name and live in sin and then still save me. And I am just, that is the glory that I want to declare to you this morning, that God is worthy. Brethren, he is gracious, he is merciful, and we ought to worship him and serve him all the days of our life, brethren. Ascribe to the Lord, ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Brethren, thank you. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Thank you for your time. Thank you.